Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Mornings with Chad, Joe, and Lo on 95.7 The Game.
I guess technically this still is Chad, Joe, and Lo, but not for this week. We are renaming it. Are we going with not Chad, Joe, and Lo?
Absolutely.
Chadless with Joe and Lo? Hanging Chad? What were some of the others that people were texting us in yesterday and tweeting at us? We appreciate it. Roxy Bernstein in for Chad Doing, along with Joe Fortenbaugh, Lorenzo Neal. Good morning. 95.7 The Game. It's been an interesting 24 hours, or I guess technically 20 hours since we sat here. But
yes.
You had a fun day yesterday, Lo Neal.
I really did. Went home to try to get my nap. Had to watch a little CNN, though, real quick, and get caught up on what was kind of happening.
Not much.
And I took a little nap and then got up and headed on to the park and got to take a couple cut at the ball, man. I went to a little batting practice, went through the warm-up, warmed up with all the pitchers.
You stretched?
Stretched. I did it all, man. I was like a player, bro, yesterday.
Did you play catch?
Play a little catch, man. You know it. That's how you warm up, getting
what
it all
do?
Going. And adrenaline was flowing out there in the grass, you know, being in the black hole in the Raider Coliseum.
Stands were packed.
Oh, my God. Cheers. The fans were cheering. There was workers out there working, cleaning up. And guys like, brothers like, Lo Neal, love listening to you guys in the morning, man. He was like, do you? He was dropping my lines on my own lines on me. It was pretty cool.
You have a patent on do you?
No, I don't.
But I'll tell you what. I saw the pictures on the 95.7 The Game Twitter account of you decked out in A's gear.
Socks.
Talking to Ron Wash.
Socks, everything.
Yeah, you look good. You look good. And I thought to myself, you look real sharp in green and gold. And then I was going through. I know a lot of people, the vote, if there was a vote, if there was a poll question, it wouldn't win here, obviously. But I think powder blue would be where a lot of people think you looked your best. Personally, when you were in the NFL, I thought in Raven purple. There's that picture of you with the do-rag.
Yeah. Purple and black.
All fed up with something.
Yeah.
That's a great picture. You in the purple and black, I think that was your best color. Now I'm starting to rethink, because green and gold, you look sharp.
But he never played for the Packers.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, the green. I'm going to tell you right now.
It's one of maybe three organizations.
One of them
is the Oilers. They no longer exist.
Right. Titans.
So that's different.
But it was Oilers/Titans.
Yeah, so technically you've played for 32 plus the Oilers.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Saskatchewan.
Now, I'll tell you what. I had a cup of coffee there. Was Oakland. That Raider uniform on me looked pretty sweet. I got to show you the picture.
It looks good on everyone. It looks good on everyone.
No. If I put on it, it wouldn't look good.
That's true.
Come on. This body wasn't made just from sitting around and.
Those arms, you would look good. That's silver and black, man. I was like, damn.
You could deceive everybody. That's what Lo Neal is saying.
Yeah.
But that green and gold.
You're wearing the silver and black now.
So take us through.
That's true.
You get over to the park.
Yeah.
What do they do?
So me and Toby.
You're not showing up in all that gear. Like, they got to get you outfitted.
So I had a pair of sweats. So I was thinking some tennis.
So they brought you in to see Vuce.
Yeah, went in to see Vuce, equipment guy. Mm-hmm. So go in there. Bob's there. The voice of the A's is there.
Ken's there.
Oh, we're talking, chopping it up. You know, because he.
There's so many elements.
Because he talked about me. Remember, because he did some games when I played at Fresno State.
He was the voice of San Jose State.
San Jose State, exactly.
Ken Korak. Mm.
So Ken and I, we shake it up, fist bump. You know, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Dap him up. I dap up Bob Melvin.
What Bo Mel have to say? He have any advice for
Bo
you?
Bo Mel, Lo, just have fun. Take your time. You can come out anytime if it doesn't go as well as you like. So he was already prepared.
Bo Mel was well aware of how this could go.
He was setting you up.
Yeah, he was setting me up. He said, look.
That's part of the confidence. He builds you up. Hey, look, you're going to get another chance.
Right. He's phenomenal.
Look, maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but just gear up.
Right.
3 years from now, that could be the time to shine.
Just stay ready because you're going to get your opportunity.
Right. He said, don't get ready. Stay ready.
Okay.
And so I was like, man, Skip, you got me feeling good.
Now this resonates. Are you dressed at this point?
No, not yet.
All right.
Then I get all the get over there. They give me all the gear, the socks, the pants, the shirt, the gloves. I'm like, all right. I come in the locker room. They give me a locker. I'm setting up.
You had a locker too, huh?
Yeah. So, you know, Sam's there, you know, Chris's there, Coco's there, Volk's there. They're like, "Low, you know, of course I'm hanging out." You know, Doolittle, we're chewing seeds out, spitting seeds out in the outfield, working out. I mean, it was just a great day.
Do you shag fly balls too?
Oh, yeah, do it all. Come on,
oh,
coach.
Yeah.
Coach,
nice.
I got skills. And so, you know, so we warm up. And so Doolittle, the relievers, they're all going to work out. So they have to run their striders and do their drills and go through. And they kind of been snagging balls. And I said, no, let me get with you guys. I want to do some running. I want to get some stuff in, get a good sweat
you
in.
Find yourself to be a relief pitcher if you were going to be a pro baseball player. You feel that that's where your skills are best utilized in relief.
In all honesty, I find myself to be a lever right. That what I would be.
Leave Situational reliever. There it is.
Leave me right where you got him. Nowhere.
But
I can't
you kind of went through your day of fantasy camp, and you felt that maybe your personality best meshed in relief. Maybe out in the bullpen, yucking it up with everyone.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. And so go through running the 30s, and then you go back and go, and then you go 20, 10. You just come all the way down 10 yards. You're running three of each. And so work out, get nice and lathered, go out in the outfield, snag some balls, you know, getting stretched out, just moving around, going with the team. Then it's, you know, I'm with group four. So group four, we finally come from the outfield.
This is unbelievable.
We come from the outfield.
Who else is in group four? I know you're focused on you and Country Breakfast.
Probably, so it's probably the guys that weren't in the lineup that night.
Yeah.
In group four. So
Country Breakfast was in there?
Billy Butler.
Billy was in three, so I don't know if he was on a DH.
So they moved him to three to make room for Loneal, probably.
You can only have so much beef in group four.
So you had Matt McBride with you, I'm guessing. Jake Smolinski.
Yeah.
And then who else, I'm trying to think, was in the ballgame last night?
I can't recall all the names.
You're focused on your cuts. I understand.
Tyler Ladendorf was the other one.
Tyler.
Yes.
Tyler. Okay. And so I had some great conversation. He's got the big forearms.
I had to go through my lineup card from last night.
Tyler's the one with the big forearms. Young kid. Mm-hmm. Really big forearms. I said, dude, you milk some cows. You've been milking something. Mm. And he said, yeah. He told me he loved himself. I said, good for you. And and so we...
How are you going to do that to group four? How are you going to go on air and say that about group four?
You're selling your boys out now.
They embrace
you. They
love
me. They love me.
After all these comments.
No, but I told him I was going to... I told him. I said, listen. They're like, hey, Lo.
You got to keep it real on air.
Keep it real.
Understood.
You got forearms like Popeye. I want to know what the heck you're doing. Because I'm like, his forearms are bigger than mine. I got some pretty big forearms. So, you know... And I didn't see any cows out there. But anyways,
okay.
So we, you know, group four comes up, and I'm out there. Ron, watch me. I go through and take a couple cuts. And, you know, I did what you said, Joe. Took my time, trying to hit for average. Kind of had some misses, but the swing was smooth. It wasn't ugly.
Who was throwing to you? Was Washington throwing to you?
No. Wash was behind me, and the skipper was behind, kind of watching, kind of analyzing, critiquing my...
Bomo's got to understand, he's got lineup. He plays a lot of situational players based on splits. Maybe you could get some cuts during the game. Maybe you can't. He's got to evaluate.
Absolutely. And so after I get through my first cut, you know, you have to go back through again. So Ron Wash comes over, and we start working. He's like, "Low, you're just swinging, you know, like you're playing golf. You're getting a lot of your back arm." And he goes, "Hey, you got to... Come with the forearm first. Use your forearm to get it going, and then turn over the wrist." So you got to realize the biggest thing about this, Joe. I think everyone needs to know this. I want to be honest. I mean, I played some softball. I played, you know, in grade school. Of course, you go outside during recess. You play softball. Play those games. And I played in some charity events where it's softball, and you can hit the ball and they underhand, and you can crush it and knock balls all around. This was the first time I ever got to play fastball. Where it's overhand, this is the first time.
Little juice behind that.
Yeah.
People don't realize that. Pressure because, you know, everybody's watching you.
Let me tell you, Coach. Where the other team, the Houston, because they're getting ready to come out, so they're watching. We got some, they were like.
A lot of young talent over there, too. So they're keeping an eye on you.
I mean, their skipper, their manager.
And since you played for the Oilers, obviously, there's a connection.
And everybody's over there and just watching. Look at this big old dude. And they are, after I start, you know, taking a couple cuts and I was missing and just barely hitting, like, Coach, make sure we want him today.
They're yelling this to Bomel.
Yeah.
The Astros are yelling to Bomel they want you in the lineup.
Yeah.
So you got called out.
Yeah, I got called out. So I was getting called out. A couple of the guys came over and were laughing. They're like, dude, we loved watching you play football. Good thing you stayed in that sport. Mm-hmm. But it was a really neat experience. But, man, I'll tell you what, I just have a newfound respect for what they do. The A's organization is really good. They you know, really treated me well. Got to, you know, wear that – the gold and yellow, and really just had a good time. You know, green and yellow, got to really had a great time being out there, meeting the guys, being out in the outfield, and just going through that process. And Ron Wash, man, I had a 30-minute conversation with him, and he is the salt of the earth. his commitment to this organization and to these young men. And we talked about Marcus Samuel. I said, how do you keep a guy like that? Did everyone, I said, I included, wanted to run him out of town. He goes, when those times are happening for Marcus, he goes, I knew that this young man wasn't going to quit, and I took all the blame. I said, how do you hold a guy and keep him, you know, from coming and going? He goes, when they're doing bad, you take the blame. He said, when they're doing good, you give them all the credit. He goes, that's what I'm paid to do. And it was just really interesting listening to his philosophy and his thought process going, taking me through it, and just kind of reminding me of a little bit of Coach Shellman, who's that I had in San Diego.
San Diego Chargers, running back coach.
Running back coach. And but he had that bravado, that knowing, hey, look, when I come to work, this is my sanctuary. I don't take my home. I don't take anything that I have there and bring it to these men. I give them everything I got. And when I leave this place, I don't take my work with me. I take it to my family. And I said, well, how is it when you see a guy and you see so much potential and they have to leave? He goes, I know I do my job. I know that if they're traded, they understand the situation. And he said, a lot of guys that come here, sometimes this is the last stop. This is possibly the last stop. So I look at this, or he looks at this organization, is having those guys that end up taking off and getting better, giving them a lot of these guys a second chance.
The closest low you came to hitting one out?
Probably just the ball flew a little bit over second base. Oh, you guys asked me to
okay.
Be honest.
But that's okay. You knew going in. Look.
He hit it to the 42-yard line.
If Doolittle came in to Charger training camp and he was going to fill the B gap and take on Ray Lewis, how do you think he would have fared?
Absolutely.
It's a specific skill set. Now you understand how difficult it is.
I do.
To put one out of the yard. I'll tell you what, though. Maybe the Astros shouldn't have been yucking it up over your BP because
I got in their head.
Kind of caught them a little bit off guard last night.
They were getting after one another last night in the dugout of that ball game. But a great win for the A's. Another terrific outing from Kendall Graveman, as he has won each of his last five decisions. The A's have won each of his last seven starts. Eight of his last nine starts the A's have won. So Kendall Graveman's turned the corner after a rough start, pitching really well. So the A's take game one of the three-game set last night from the Astros.
And Roxy, more importantly, I'm sorry to jump in here, but you've got to include this. In the history of the Oakland Athletics franchise, they have never lost a game when Lo Neal is there as a part of the organization.
1-0 when Lo is in uniform pregame.
You don't have to get specific. It's just they're undefeated.
That's true. They are unbeaten.
They're undefeated.
They're unbeaten.
Yeah. No one has ever beaten the A's when Lo Neal is there in group four taking BP.
Just so you know, Bob Melvin is an extremely superstitious guy. It wouldn't shock me if at some point today he reaches out to Lo Neal. You have to come back today.
Yeah.
I just know how Bob is.
I'm a man of the people, Bob. If you're listening, I know you always listen to the show. I got your back.
Being a major league ball player does not make you a man of the people. But let's just understand that if you're going to go associate with the elite of the elite at their craft, that's not a man of the people.
So the
A's, see what I'm saying?
With Lo Neal in attendance last night.
In the green and gold as a part of the organization.
In the green and gold as a part of the organization, they knock off the Houston Astros. Kendall Graveman, another win. Game two of the series tonight coming up is Dylan Overton makes a start for the A's 7:05 at the Coliseum. Reminder again, it's Root Beer Float Night out at the Coliseum. Go early in the East Side Club. Get out there and support a good charity raising money for juvenile diabetes. But coming up, we'll jump over to basketball with the Olympic team getting together in Las Vegas to get ready to go down to Rio and compete for the gold. Draymond Green, a part of the team, and kind of some news coming out of Draymond yesterday. Will Draymond continue to be Draymond? That's straight ahead on Not Chad, Joe and Lowe at 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
6:20. There's our first time check of the day, Cody. You happy? Along with Joe and Lowe, Roxy Bernstein in for Chad, 95.7 The Game. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get back to some baseball talk and some interesting off-the-field news surrounding Major League Baseball. But yesterday, some news coming out of Las Vegas, where the Olympic team is getting together. As the group getting ready to head down to Rio, of course, the Golden State Warriors well-represented with the newcomer Kevin Durant there.
Nothing says America like Vegas, eh, Roxy?
Exactly. It what better place for the Olympic team to go? And by the way, they finished off the NBA Summer League last night. Not that really anybody cares, but there was an unbelievable game in the championship that went into overtime. Some dramatic shots were hit, but that's for another time, another
Staring
place.
At you like a deer in headlights.
Hey, the Chicago Bulls, Denzel Valentine last night. That was a big-time play by the former Michigan State Spartans. Speaking of Michigan State Spartans,
Look at this transition.
How about that one? The segue. Draymond Green made some news, as certainly people are interested in talking to Draymond considering the recent events that happened right near the Michigan State campus in East Lansing, Michigan, where he got into a little incident with a guy who's now a former football player at Michigan State. But people, the media, talking about the people, were grilling Draymond a bit last night and or yesterday. And basically the message from Draymond Green was, I'm going to continue to be Draymond Green. I'm not going to change. Now, there's some things I need to be smarter about is what he got at. But at the end of the day, he needs to be that person, because that person has developed into the one of the elite players in the world and has helped the Golden State Warriors win an NBA title.
You're exactly right. The emotion is what makes Draymond Green who he is, both on and off the court. And at times, you can see that get him into trouble, both on and off the court. The initial reaction to the comments for me is that if it's the whole, I'm just going to keep being me, but I've got to understand my situation better, that really doesn't resonate as, I made a mistake in Michigan and I need to learn from that. It's the whole, I didn't do anything wrong. I was just in a bad spot and I got to realize this is what people are going to do. Now, granted, people are going to come at you, but that's why I call Draymond new famous. He's new famous. There are guys who have been around long enough to understand that these situations will occur no matter who you are. And it's not to say you're at fault, because you're not, but people are going to try to get at you. Famous Hollywood actors, musicians, athletes, people are going to come at you for pictures, for autographs, to tell you how great you are. But then they're also going to come at you to see if they can pick a fight. Lo, you've talked about this before. Guys just want to measure up and see if they're tough. Guys have a little bit too much to drink. They want to talk junk to you.
You got a little liquid courage going.
Exactly. And what you got to realize is, don't put yourself in the Ben Roethlisberger situations. Understand, if you're going to be out at night, maybe through that back door entrance, private little VIP, you have, and I think, Lo, this is one of the best pieces of advice you've ever talked about, hiring a former FBI agent or a former police detective who's retired and can come out and just kind of monitor. Not necessarily bodyguard, but monitor that situation, connections to law enforcement, the ability to keep you out of trouble, the ability to recognize these situations developing before they actually happen.
I agree with you. And those are the things that you want guys to do. There's, because a lot of officers really enjoy hanging out with athletes. Most of them have been athletes themselves. And Roxy, if there's an officer, no matter what, and he's there and you know he's an officer and you know he was an ex-officer or he was an officer and he's carrying, you treat them different. It's just, no, that's just how we are human. And if the officer's there and he says, hey, Lo, calm down. Can't have you do this. We're going to leave. I don't care. Guys sober up. They understand that there's someone in authority.
You'll listen to that guy?
You usually listen a little bit more because of the fact that he's in a position of power.
If you look, for example, and look, this has nothing to do with Draymond Green's situation. Well, Steph Curry, wherever he goes, if you notice, there is a security guy with him. He's former Oakland PDs,
Not a homeboy. And that's what Ray Lewis, after that incident in Atlanta. His guy is a former PD. Mm-hmm. He's licensed. So it's not a home. It's not the homeboy.
And he was a great basketball player,
it's not
too.
Entourage. Right. It's not a member of Entourage tasked with looking out. It's a professional.
And you're talking about, these former athletes. Well, Steph Curry's guy, I believe he's employed by the Warriors, is a former terrific college basketball player. But now, if you notice, he is right there on the sidelines. Wherever Steph is, he goes. Do the Warriors need to do the same thing just to be safe? Not saying that they should be concerned about Draymond Green and future incidents off the floor.
I would.
You'd get somebody that's with him all the time.
Why not? Why not invest a little, say, hey, Dre, no, until you can show us that you're going to be necessarily responsible, no, and anything about it is, I don't necessarily pay. I'm saying, no, you go anywhere. You paying for this and what's $50,000?
That was going to be my next question. What is something like that cost?
Ray pays this guy, I think, $55,000. He was going to come on this show.
So that came out of Ray's pocket. The Ravens didn't foot the bill for that.
$50,000 for the year.
Yeah.
And he's what? Just on call? Ray will let him know, kind of, here's my upcoming itinerary. Here's where I need you
tonight. Hey, I'm going out tonight. I need you. But you're getting $50,000, $60,000. They're retired. You have. Dude, that's a good life. You don't have it. It's not an 8-hour day job. The guy's usually at work. Or it's 60, 70, whatever it is. But what isn't that worth? If Draymond would have had an officer there with him, Draymond's not acting that way. It's going to calm down because the liquid courage, his homeboy is going to say, I got it, and they're going to slap somebody or grab somebody. The officer will say, show a badge. Hey, calm down. Draymond, you need to. It helps things
defuse situations. Yes. Now I can see how the officer with the gun would keep individuals from coming up to Draymond. The guy might see that and say, "All right, you know what? I'm not going to test my will here." But you're convinced that athletes, even though you're paying the guy and hiring him, that you'll listen to him. You won't have a little too much to drink, and the guy's like, "Hey, you got to cool it off, man. You work for me. Forget about it."
No,
like you don't see that happening.
No, because that usually it's a relationship too. When you start building that with that individual, he's there. He's seen you. He's been with you in the cut. He's been in those tough situations. So you're going to start to trust him. He becomes a part of you that you're going to trust his decision-making. Look, man, I'm telling you, we got to go. Man, look, I work for you right now. I'm telling you, you're being stupid. Let's go. Ray, this isn't a good environment. I don't like this setup here. Look, if you're going to stay here, I'm just letting you know you're putting me in a tough situation. And it's that tough love. I've seen those guys act that way.
But are you guys concerned going forward that Draymond Green could have maybe an escalated incident? What happened in East Lansing, Michigan is minor. And to me,
I think it's minor.
It was a guy that had some liquid courage going, decided he was going to talk some smack to Draymond, and Draymond kind of made a fool of him. And that's why this guy was offended. He was butthurt because Draymond made him look like an ass. And now, going forward, any concerns that it could escalate and Draymond could get into bigger trouble in the future than what we just saw?
You know why? Because I heard the exact same thing from him following the Michigan State incident that I heard following what happened on the court in the NBA playoffs. It was the same thing. I got to learn from these situations. I got to get better. I got to grow. Then you're out in another situation. See, your character is never tested when
you're a target.
You're sitting here in a studio or you're sitting there watching TV at night. It's very easy at 5 p.m. when you've got a sitcom on to say, you know what? I need to be calmer. I need to handle situations better. Those aren't the moments that matter. The moments that matter are when you're out at the nightclub and a guy's in your face. And when you say you learned from what happened on the court, that was a highly charged emotional moment. Take him to the next situation where he's in a highly charged emotional moment. Suddenly we're hearing about arrests and money that needs to be spent to get out of jail. Now, young guys make mistakes, 26 years old. Thank God no one was hurt. But moving forward, I heard the comments once. A few weeks later, another incident happened. Now I'm hearing the comments again. If you can learn and grow from this, outstanding. But I think the Warriors should definitely have some level of concern.
Well, luckily, there's going to be no ramifications, hopefully, from that incident in East Lansing, Michigan for Draymond Green. But there is some legal trouble for a former Major League Baseball exec. We'll get into that story straight ahead on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to not Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
See, Big Voice Guy finally got on board with us.
That was hot.
You like it?
Oh, yeah.
Not Chad.
Not Chad.
And I think when Chad comes back on Monday, you should play that for him.
Yeah. Got to. So 50 right here. Yo, 50.
Roxy in for Chad along with Joe and Lowe, 95.7 The Game. Coming up, 15 minutes. Take your pick poll question. A good one for you today that Anna will have. That's coming up. But there was some news off the field in baseball yesterday. I know there's certainly a lot going on in Cleveland right now with the Republican National Convention going on. And there was some news surrounding the St. Louis Cardinals organization yesterday. And this really got my attention. In case you're not familiar with the story, former scouting director of the St. Louis Cardinals, Christopher Correa, was found to have hacked into the Houston Astros computer database, and the hacking scandal where he essentially stole information from the Astros. And so the judge handed down the sentencing and the punishment for Christopher Correa yesterday. And the punishment is he will spend 46 months in prison. 46 months in prison for hacking into the Astros database, as well as nearly $280,000 in fines. And I'm just trying to process all of this for Christopher Correa. Look, I get it, and he needs to serve a punishment, and what he did is wrong. But doesn't our government have anything better to do than punish a Major League Baseball executive for stealing scatter reports? I mean, this is not like he was, well, I guess in a way it was baseball espionage. But, I mean, come on. He's stealing scatter reports. Nearly four years in jail? That seems excessive to me. Now, I think he should be punished. And maybe you ban him from baseball. And you fine him. You put him on probation. He has to do X amount of hours of community service. But come on, 4 years in jail for stealing scatter reports? I just don't get it.
Let me ask you, is it because that punishment seems excessive compared to some of the other punishments that are handed down, whether they be sports related or not? For example, in this country, there are constantly incidents, whether it be domestic violence, like, you know, the Jose Reyes thing in Hawaii.
Right.
Huge issue. She calls the police. They have to be separated for 3 days. Then suddenly she recants and there's no punishment whatsoever. Now, baseball punishes them. But is it because we've seen so many people commit perhaps violent crimes and receive a less strict punishment that we look at this and consider this excessive?
Yes, I do.
So there's a little bit of a comparison bias going on there. Not to say you're wrong, but to say that we see incidents that we deem more egregious than this, and because the punishment isn't as excessive, we look at this and think this is over the top.
To me, it's over the top because of those reasons, because this was not a violent offense. Right. And nobody physically was hurt in the process of Christopher Correa hacking into the Astros system. Now, what he did was wrong? Yes. And he should pay for that and be punished for it.
Did any other team get the information?
But, I mean, just the Cardinals.
Yeah,
as far as we know.
Cardinals, so, yeah, exactly.
But 4 years in jail for stealing scatter reports? Now, granted, he did give the St. Louis Cardinals a competitive advantage, and the Houston Astros are violated. I understand that. And I get that. And he needs to pay for it. But to put him in jail for 4 years for this, just it seems excessive to me, guys. I think that you ban him from baseball, you fine him heavily, he has to do community service. To me, that should be the punishment for him instead of spending 4 years in jail for stealing scatter reports. I just don't get it.
I agree. And here's the thing. Did the Cardinals use the information? Who did he give his information to? Did they use it? So if they use it and they know,
I guarantee the Cardinals used it.
If
he got the information, I guarantee. Now, how far up the chain did it go? Did it just stop with him?
But trust me, when you see sophisticated scouting reports and you see certain things, you know that player or that coach or someone got it from somebody. So they took it. If you know that I've stole something, I give it to you. You're just as much at fault knowing you're taking stolen property. So I look at this thing. You're right. 4 years is way too much. Yeah, should he be banned? Yeah, maybe banning from baseball. I get that. But it's just, to me, we live in a world, this society, that we punish things that we deem, okay, not morally right and all these different things. And then someone can absolutely go out and murder someone and get 3 years, or manslaughter and get 2 or 3 years, or get this or that. It's where do we go? Even with sports, you look at it, this 4 years of this guy's life, and I'm not condoning it. It's just like when we talk about freedom of speech, pro-choice, all these different things. So it's like if you believe in pro-choice, but someone can have an abortion at 4 or 5 months, whatever they feel they deem is okay. But then it's okay. But then if someone's spanking a kid too hard or doing something like with Adrian Peterson, a year in prison, a jail time, going pro. I mean, I don't, you know, it's a thin line.
I don't know, and this is to play off what you're just talking about. I'm not sure I think this punishment's too excessive. And
really?
one of the reasons for that is, Roxy, you made an interesting statement in there when you said, for a nonviolent crime. We obviously feel that violent crime should be punished more harshly than nonviolent crimes.
Yeah.
But nonviolent crimes can have significant impact on people's lives.
True.
Look at Bernie Madoff, right?
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Bernie Madoff is sent away for good. anytime Madoff's mentioned, anyone only thinks about, well, the billionaires who lost a few million or the Mets or instances like this. There was someone from my hometown. They had $3.5 million in their nest egg. They invested all of it in Bernie Madoff and lost everything.
Now,
rule number one, diversify. That's on you if you put all of it in this guy and he tanked. But the bottom line is nonviolent crimes can have a significant impact on people's lives. They can ruin people's lives. And this is a situation where you're handing out 4 years to someone. And yeah, the bottom line is they stole some baseball information. In the grand scheme of life, this is just a blip on the radar. It's not really going to affect or trickle down. But where does it stop? Because if you don't send a message like this, people hacking other people, we get up in arms when we think China's hacking us. People are under the impression this Pokemon Go thing is Japan's way of spying on us. Smile if you want, but they're... You have to give up a lot of information, a lot of personal information, a lot of access to your accounts in order to play this game.
Another reason why I'm not doing it.
Right, and I don't blame you. But there's to hand down 4 years for something like this, I think it's a message that we live in a day and age now where even though it's just a broad stroke of the keyboard, it's just a couple clicks of the mouse, you can ruin individuals' lives, families' lives. There can be businesses that are destroyed. Now, this is, yeah, it's scouting reports. Who cares in the grand scheme of things based on what's going on in this country? But I'm not necessarily sure I see 4 years and think to myself, this is extremely harsh.
The Madoff, that look, the white-collar crime, and you talked about lives being impacted and the person that you know, for example, losing everything. Well, what did the Astros really lose here? They lose face because their database got hacked, and they lose information to one other organization who can gain a competitive edge on them. But that's so the Astros, I guess, financially, the organization got hurt by this. And they're essentially throwing themselves at the St. Louis Cardinals at their mercy because the Cardinals now know everything that the Astros. First off, the Astros are idiots for putting everything on computer, which they did.
But that's the world we live in now. We put everything in the
But not every organization operates that way, where everything is on a database and it's accessible. Jeff Luhnow, the GM there. So I get what they were thinking, why they built the infrastructure that they did, so anybody had access to it in the organization and get the information. If I'm writing a scouting report and I'm working with the minor league team here at AA, that the scouting director or a coach at AAA can see what is going on with the AA. I get why they did that. And there's a lot of reasons that make sense. But at the end of the day, they're the only team that really operates like that, as far as my understanding, talking to different organizations. I don't know why you would put everything – that's a whole other argument. But at the end of the day, yes, they were at a competitive disadvantage to the St. Louis Cardinals, but four years for this, for a guy hacking it, I just
– It's just like when you –
Doesn't our government have anything better to do than bother with a baseball – inner war between the Cardinals and the Astros?
It comes down to precedent, though.
Yeah.
If you set a poor precedent here, then that's what lawyers who are defending individuals accused with similar crimes are going to lean on. That's
where if it's not
different
in the baseball world, if it's in the real world.
What you're referencing, we can go right to the text line. This is a perfect example from the 707. This guy gets 4 years, but the Stanford rapist only got 6 months. And he's going to be in his own special prison, and he's going to be out, and all these different little things to accommodate him. That's why we look at 4 years as excessive, because we're not punishing more heinous acts to the same extent or fuller. That doesn't mean 4 years is too much.
I understand.
Maybe it means 6 months for rape is too little.
But that's my point is, even though when you look at the Patriots, you had a guy that took all the Patriots information, took it over to Denver. Denver still didn't win. You can take scouting and do it, and that's self-evaluation. You still comes down. It's sports. A guy can take all the juice he wants. We'll go fight. I'm going to still whip his butt. That's how I believe. But there's a lot of different things that people do. You can take the information. All these disciples of Belichick, all of them get head coaching jobs. It don't merit a Super Bowl. Even they take the information. The Patriots were, Denver was stealing stuff, doing the same type of deal. It didn't win them a championship. It comes down to individuals. Now, I agree with Joe. Sometimes the crime, yeah, okay, look, maybe for the rapists and those different things, just like with anything they're out there, maybe the crime is not as much. But I'm just saying 4 years to me is excessive. I believe that, yeah, this rape deal, I think that was horrible what this Stanford kid gets away with this. But at the same sense, I just don't know where the balance is. We're in a place where we want to vilify someone from stealing, like you're talking about, click of the mouse. And then, but what's our reality? Like, because I'm pro-choice, pro-money, but at 4 or 5 months, all of a sudden, because you can't see the kid. And then all of a sudden, if someone's whooping a kid or doing something, they're going to punish them.
I mean, can we put this guy in house arrest?
Yeah.
Just put an armband on him or an anklet just to monitor him so he can't leave the house. I mean, instead we have to spend all this money to put him in jail for stealing scouting reports. I don't know, it's mind-blowing to me.
Me too.
That he would spend jail for nearly 4 years for stealing scouting reports from the Houston Astros. And at the time, the Houston Astros weren't exactly the team you wanted to steal information from. But now they've certainly become a pretty good team, although the A's took care of him behind Kendall Graveman last night.
Let me sum it up like this very quickly for you. It depends on who you are and who you know. The Stanford rapist, he's connected. This individual is some nobody for some baseball organization that wasn't deemed worthy of protection. That's what it comes down to. Who do you know? Who can you grease? Who can you influence? What can you do for someone else to benefit you? That's what this comes down to.
Money's
power. The Stanford thing is absurd. Absurd, but he's connected. This guy, he was deemed expendable.
Coming up next hour, we'll be joined by the TV voice of the Boston Red Sox. You also see him on ESPN. Dave O'Brien will preview the Giants and Red Sox who are coming up tonight at Fenway Park. But up next, it's your Take Your Poll question of the day.
Take your poll.
You take your poll, son.
See, I'm still getting used to this morning stuff. Take your pick. Poll question of the day. Anna's got that for you next. A not Chad, Joe and Lowe at 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to not Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
I'm getting used to this not Chad, Joe, and Lowe.
Ready to start getting up real early, huh? You ready? Huh?
No, I'm not ready for that, Lowe. For 1 week, I could suck it up. If I had to do this more than 1 week, that's why I have so much respect for all of you.
Are you a coffee drinker?
Tea. I don't drink coffee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've actually
never. Tea, he says. Tea.
I've never had a cup of coffee in my life.
Are you kidding me?
I swear.
How old are you?
Swear
oh,
to
I
God.
Couldn't do it.
Wow.
43.
43 years, and you never even decided you wanted to try a cup of coffee.
No. I've had a taste.
No latte.
I've had a
no
taste.
Espresso.
No lattes. Nothing. I drink straight hot tea. Black tea. That's it. English breakfast. That's my go-to.
Okay. Are you English?
No.
Well, then, do I
sound it?
Good point.
I do like the English Premier League, though.
Hmm. Okay.
That's a nice little, not even know. A transition. Or
I watched
segment.
Wimbledon. Does that count?
Wimbledon, yeah. Fun. I like Wimbledon.
Sure.
Strawberries and cream?
You speak the King's English.
No, I can't even master my own English. Why would I try somebody else's?
You're speaking the King's English right now.
I know. I'm kidding.
All right.
Moving forward,
references to ethnicity must be limited to the Greeks and the Native Americans as low as. That's it.
That is true.
This show is limited to Native American and Greek references only.
Okay. Speaking of, we're going to hand it off to the Greek section of the room for our Take Your Pick poll question of the day.
Good job. You got it.
I'm trying.
All right, so today's Take Your Pick poll question. So first off, the NCAA Division I Football Oversight Committee and the American Football Coaches Association have reportedly discussed eliminating kickoffs from college football. They're saying the reason is player safety. So today's question, should football get rid of kickoffs? All right, so you all can let us know what you think. First off, go to 957thegame.com. The poll is on the right-hand side of the page. You vote till midnight tonight. Also, go to Twitter, at 957thegame. Use the hashtag TakeYourPick to get involved in the conversation with all of us and let us know what you think. Let's start with you, Roxy. What do you think?
No, I enjoy the kickoff aspect of the game. I understand the motivation behind it and why they would look to eliminate kickoffs. Maybe I make it a little easier for that to be touchback, so you have a less violent and fewer collisions. But, for example, at the end of a ball game when a team's going for an onside kick to try to recover it, what do you do at that point of a ball game? So for me, no, I don't get rid of kickoffs, whether it's the professional or the collegiate level. Maybe at the lower level, the high school level and down, whether it's Pop Warner, youth football, I maybe look to eliminate it. But at the highest levels, the college game and the pro game, I don't.
Lope.
I don't eliminate it. I look at kickoff. Kickoff is game time, game changing, and it gives the crowd something to cheer about. You think about game when you're up, getting ready to kick off the ball. Fans are on their feet. They're cheering. And sometimes it just sets the tone. Desmond Howard, big game in Michigan. I mean, in the pros. Those are games. Those are things that you remember. Long kickoff returns, the kickoff teams, the big hits. I think that, no, that sets the game up. It's a great way to start the game. I keep kickoff. You keep it. You continue to try to get the safety of the game, but it's a part of the football game. I don't eliminate it.
I love this obsession with taking something that's inherently violent and saying, let's make it safe.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, again, this is entertainment. In Rome, they didn't have the gladiators use spears with plastic rather than metal because it led to death. It's the same thing. It's just 2,000 years later. Football players are the same thing as gladiators. You're out there. You're just dying from long-term consequences like CTE rather than right there on the Coliseum floor because a lion bit your leg off. That's what it is. You can call me as crazy as you want, but sports are a distraction from the problems society faces. That's why Rome leaned so heavily on what happened at the Coliseum. Every time they did the games, every time they were doing it back then was to distract you from the plague or an invasion or something else that was going on. We are the same way. We've just found a way to make it a business and make it more acceptable. But sports are a distraction from the problems in this country. You don't think if we weren't talking about Stanton's 61 bombs in last week's All-Star game, we wouldn't have spent more time focused on what's been going on around this country outside of the sports world? Sports are a distraction because we're here on air talking about sports when we could be four mouthpieces talking about something else, like some of the problems we have with our politicians, etc. So you want to take something violent, you want to make it safe. Sorry, violent things can't be made safe. You either eliminate them or you accept them for what they are. That's the bottom line. I would love kickoffs to be eliminated to make the game safer. What's the alternative? Because Roxy makes the best point imaginable. How does a team catch up at the end of the game if they need to go on sides? If you get rid of the kickoff and you eliminate the concept of coming back, we're all tuning out with 6 minutes to go rather than watching it through the end.
And what happens to all these special team players?
True. I mean, people will be losing jobs.
You're going to be losing all kinds of jobs. I think in all honesty, if you want to make the sport safer, you have to look into the equipment. That is the only way you can really make it safer at this point is to look at technology down the road to help make the equipment safer to protect the players. You can't change the game completely just saying, oh, this is going to make it safer. No matter what, it's still going to be a dangerous sport. Guys are still going to get hurt no matter what.
Maybe you make a more of a reward for the kicking team in terms of for touchbacks. Mm-hmm. This is a way you can try to hang on the value of player safety so you don't kick off from the 30-yard line. The kicker goes from the 40, can blast it through the end zone, and it comes out to the 20-yard line. That's how you will have fewer collisions.
Right.
So that's one way to go in terms of trying to protect the players. Just make it easier for there to be touchbacks. Therefore, you won't have those violent collisions when a guy is coming across the 20-yard line on a return.
Yeah, but then why do it at all? If you can just move it to the 50 and everyone puts it through the end of the end zone, then just start
it
on the
20. This is a way of you saving onside kicks and some of the strategy involved in the kickoff play.
I get that, but again, with the onside kick, it's still 11 guys running head down full steam into a bunch of guys who are staring at a football completely defenseless. Completely defenseless. You can light a guy up just as bad. They're moving 30-mile-an-hour torpedoes at dudes that are jumping up into the air completely defenseless, just getting ripped to shreds.
And that's what you're supposed to do. Get the ball out of their hand. Go hit them. Don't worry about the ball. Coach will tell you, you run through him.
Light him up.
Light him up.
Again, the poll question today is...
So, should football eliminate kickoffs? Go to 957thegame.com to vote. Also, Twitter at 957thegame. Use the hashtag TakeYourPick. We'll read some of the best tweets later in the show.
Coming up, technology reaching the NFL. Interesting proposition. We'll discuss that next, along with Joe and Lo. Roxy in for Chad at 95.7 The Game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.